The Business on RTÉ Radio 1 with AIB. We know that your focus is on your business. That's why ours is on supporting you.
Well, first, this weekend, as the G7 leaders meet in Japan, one of the topics for discussion is placing more sanctions on Russia and also issuing a bit of a rebuke to China. I'm joined now by RBC Blue Bay asset management economist Timothy Ash. Timothy, we'll talk a little bit about Russia and those sanctions shortly, but just this, these comments about China, they seem to be issuing a bit of a rebuke on the one hand, but saying the West has a very important and complex relationship with China. Is it a rebuke or is it not?
I don't see it that way. I know the FT had a front pager on it today, but actually it was a 66-point communique from G7. Only 2 points of that were about China, and they were the 51st and 52nd point. Actually, the fourth point, much more prominent, was Ukraine. And actually, if you look what they said about China, it was fairly straight, obvious stuff. I mean, they actually said, you know, we want to cooperate. We don't want to hold you back economically. But we're going to represent, we're going to actually try and represent our own interests or look after our own interests. And we're going to call you out for things that, you know, we don't think you're doing, you know, doing very well. For example, on the South China Sea, on trying to steal IT stuff, etc. And your more malign activity. But they also called on China to help in resolution of the war in Ukraine. And they focused on a few things that they think the West and China can work together on. For example, on low-income country debt restructuring.
Yes, and that seems to be a growing issue in a number of countries, particularly developing nations that China has lent a lot of money to. But on the question of Russia and sanctions, they've ratcheted up sanctions. And interestingly, this involves Russia's diamond trade. Many of us wouldn't associate Russia as being big in the diamonds business. But is this a meaningful sanction?
Well, it's, you know, they've done a lot in terms of energy and commodities. You know, diamond trade is about $4 billion a year for Russia. Energy is about $250 billion, right? So, I mean, it's relatively small, but it's, you know, all this is about tightening the regime around Russia, the sanctions regime around Russia, reducing the revenue stream, the dollar revenue stream to the Russian state, because the West doesn't want Russia to be able to rebuild its military capability and threat to the West. So, you know, it's important. It's another kind of, you know, they're going through the gears, basically, of tightening the sanctions regime around Russia.
Yeah, I mean, and when it comes to diamonds, Russia is a big wholesale buyer. And then there are other countries, you know, India, United Arab Emirates, that would be similar in that sense. But this feeds into applying the sanctions. Is there a suggestion that they may have been getting around sanctions quite a bit, particularly in other commodities like the so-called Russian ghost trade?
Yeah, well, this is the thing about sanctions, right? I mean, Russia doesn't stand still. The West roll out, you know, lots of sanctions, like on energy and now on diamonds, and then Russia tries to get around them. I mean, that's the part of the sanctions kind of business. We've seen that with Iran, we've seen it with North Korea. So enforcement is really important. It's about identifying where Russia is succeeding in circumventing sanctions and trying to stop that, trying to close various loopholes that appear. Sanctions are really, really complicated, right?
And is there any
when you
evidence,
design them,
Timothy,
you don't, sometimes...
Is there any evidence that so far it's having a real impact on the Russian economy, the sanctions that are in place?
Well, I think sanctions are not a silver bullet. They're not meant to crash the Russian economy. It's very difficult to do that. Russia knew this war was going to happen. It built up its defenses. It had $600 billion in reserves. So it was well, and it knew it was going to happen, right? I mean, Putin knew this war was going to happen. He created the energy crisis before the conflict, and that helped him in terms of energy and oil revenues because of higher prices. But actually now what we're seeing is energy prices are lower. The revenues that are coming to Russia from oil and gas are much reduced now. And the fiscal position, the budget position of Russia is also deteriorating pretty quickly. They're going to have a very big budget deficit this year. They're beginning to run through their reserves. And that means less resources to rebuild its military capability that has been lost in Ukraine. And remember, what we now know is this war by Putin on Ukraine is not just about fighting Ukraine. It's about trying to threatening us.
And so, every Russian tank that's destroyed in Ukraine is one less tank that NATO will have to face in the future.
So maybe having some economic bite. We'll have to leave it there. Timothy Ash, economist at RBC Blue Bay Asset Management, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.